Today's daf is Shavuos daf Memches, and we are at the two dots in the middle of daf Mem Zayin Amid Beis v'Hachenvini al Pinkasei v'Chulu. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu Bnei Yisrael Hanasunu Matzar v'Shivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schos Rufu Shalema for Shlomo ben Chaya Leah, Chava Miriam bas Malka Freida, and Sara bat Batya. So we're holding already at the second to last daf of Meseches Shavuos. We're continuing to discuss the Nishba v'Noitels that were mentioned in the very long Mishnah in the beginning of Perek Kolam Nishbaim. Specifically, we're up to number 5 on the list, and that is the Hachenvini al Pinkasai. So the Mishnah said, what's the case of Chenvini al Pinkasai? Somebody went over to a Chenvini, a storekeeper. He told him that I owe money to my employees. Will you please give my employees the money that I owe them? A day later, the Chenvini comes over to this person and he says, you owe me money. I paid your employees. I made payroll for you. As a result, you have to give me money. The employees claim that they never got money. In fact, they're also going over to the person and they too are saying, you owe us money. Essentially, this person now is being stalked from both sides. The Chenvini, who claims that he laid out the money for him, wants payment, and the Payalim, who were supposed to have gotten paid, who claimed they weren't paid by the Chenvini, want to get their payroll. So the Mishnah said it was a machlokes benanis and the Chachamim. How are you supposed to go about this? The Chachamim said, Shneim nishban v'noitlin. The Chenvini swears that he made this payroll and he's noitel from the person. The Poyalim swear that they never received payment and they're noitel from the person. This is then the fifth example of the Mishnah of a Nishba v'Noitel. In this case, it's not just one Nishba v'Noitel, but rather you have Shneim Nishban v'Noitlin. Benana said it can't be this halacha. Why? Because if that's the case, Bezdin setting up one person to swear a Shvua Shav, that's the Lashon HaMishnah, or maybe Shvua Sheker, but the point is that Bezdin setting up one of these two parties to swear falsely, because can't both be true. It can't be that this person, this balabas, owes money to the Chenvini and he owes money to his pilot. If he owes money to the Chenvini, that means the Chenvini made payroll for him. He doesn't owe anything to the pilot. And if he owes money to the pilot, well, that means that the Chenvini never made payroll for him, and as a result, he doesn't owe any money to the Chenvini. To the extent that the Aloch is Shneim Nishban V'Noitlin, said Benanis, it's untenable because Bezdin is setting up one of these two parties for a Shavua Shav. Impossible that that would be the halacha. So what is the halacha? Said Benanis, the halacha is they both end up taking Shaloi B'Shavua. Who noitel Shaloi B'Shavua? Meaning the Chenvini. The Hein noitel Shaloi B'Shavua, meaning the Payalim. There can't be a Shavua. This would not be an example of Nishba V'Noitel. So today's daf is going to begin with a little bit of a discussion as it relates to what was Shitas Rebbe. As in Rabbi Yudah Nasi, as in the author or the Masadir of the Mishnah. What did he hold as it relates to the idea of the Chenvini al Pinkasai? Says the Gemara, Abraisa, Tanya, Amar Rebbe. Rebbe said, Toirach Shavua Zulama. When Rebbe heard about the case of the Chenvini al Pinkasai and the suggestion that they both should be Nishba V'Noitel, he said, Toirach Shavua Zulama. Why would be Matriach on both of these parties to go ahead and swear? Now, Reb Chiya, who was a Talmud Mufik of Rebbe, heard what Rebbe said. He understood that Rebbe didn't mean Toirach Shavua Zulama, Miloshin Tircha, literally, Pshutai. But what he meant was that I'm not comfortable with both people swearing. Benanis is taina, right? So when Rav Chiya heard what Rebbe said, so Amalei Rav Chiya, he told him, Tanina, Rebbe, I'm a little bit taken aback that right now you're questioning this halacha because it's a stam Mishnah, Shneim Nishban V'Noitlin Mi Bala Bayis. And being that the Mishnah says Shneim Nishban V'Noitlin, sounds like the Tana the Mishnah holds that we don't say Torah Shvu Zulama. So why are you questioning this Shavua? Isn't it a Stam Mishnah? Now Rashi adds a little bit of Zalz and Pfeffer into what Reb Chiya's Taina to Rebbe was. And that is, if it's a Stam Mishnah, Rebbe, who was misadded the Stam Mishnah, must have thought that this is the Halacha. And if that's the case, Reb Chiya is not just asking Rebbe, Why are you questioning the Shvua? Isn't there a Stam Mishnah? Rebbe, you yourself, you were Masada the Mishnah. You made this into a Stam Mishnah. If you made this into a Stam Mishnah, for sure you thought this is the Pashtas. Now all of a sudden you're questioning it, right? Rebbe, it doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, Kibla Mine, Eloika Lemine. So we don't know what Rebbe's response was to Reb Chiya. So let's see if we can figure it out. We'll do a little bit of investigative work. Did Rebbe accept Reb Chiya's Taina, or did he not accept Reb Chiya's Taina? In other words, what is Shitas Rebbe Lamaisa? So the Gemara says, Toshma, I'll bring you a ride from another Bryce. Tanya, we learned to the Bryce. Rebbe, Yemi, Rebbe said, Poyalim Nishbon Lechenveni. That the Poyalim, in the case of Chenveni, Alpinkasi swear. And who do they swear to? They swear to the Chenveni. Now, the Gemara says, V'im Isa, if you're going to tell me that Rebbe holds of what he was Soysim in the Mishnah, Shneim Nishbon V'Noitlin, then why are the Poyalim swearing to the Chenveni? The Balabayas Miboyle. They should be swearing to the Balabayas. And the way Rashi explains the Gemara is very stark. Bishloima, if you're going to tell me that the Halacha is not that the Poyalim could be Nishbon V'Noitl and that the Chenveni could be Nishbon V'Noitl, then I could understand the idea of Poyalim Nishban L'Chenveni. Because the way we would interpret Poyalim Nishban L'Chenveni is that only the Poyalim could be Nishba V'Noitel, but to the extent that the Poyalim are Nishba V'Noitel, in that case, the Chenveni is going to be out. Because we're not going to set up a situation where they're both going to swear, Teirach Shvua Zulama, and they're also not both going to be able to take a Chaloyba Shvua, the way Benana said it in the Mishnah. Rather, the halacha would be that the Chenveni has the option, the Chenveni's out, and the Poyalim have the option to be Nishba V'Noitel. If that's the case, that means when the Poyalim swear, their shvu is not just impacting the balabayas, it's obviously impacting the balabayas, because as a result of the shvu, the balabayas has to now pay the poilum, but it's also impacting the chenveni, because as a result of their shvu, we trust the poilum, and if we trust the poilum, now the chenveni is out. So the lushin of chenveni, or poilum, nishban, the chenveni, would make perfect sense. The shvu is to the chenveni in the sense that the Chenveni has to be makabel der shvua because ultimately it's going to end up being a hefset. If, however, you're telling me that Loch is shneim nishban v'noitlin, so the Chenveni shvua is not impacting the poilim shvua is not impacting the Chenveni, so why would you say that the poilim and nishban the Chenveni? Who should they be swearing to? They should be swearing to the balabayas. So says the Gemara, from the fact that Rebbe said poilim nishban the Chenveni, vice tois, he doesn't hold like the Stam Mishnah. In fact, vice tois, he holds a third shita, and that is not shneim nishban v'noitlin. Also not each one gets to take below shvua, but the halacha is that the poyalim are nishban v'noitlin, the chenveni ends up getting nothing, and where did Rebbe said it? He said it b'lashoyne yazav, when he said poyalim nishban l'chenveni, because otherwise that nusach makes absolutely no sense. But the Gemara says, oh my rava was doichere, he said, it could be this diuk is not a good diuk, meaning it's all based on a diuk. Poyalim nishban l'chenveni. Maybe we're overreading it a little bit. We're getting a little too excited. And rather, what Rebbe meant to say was poyalim nishban l'balabayas. However, it's b'maymat chenveni. And the reason they want the poyal to swear to the balabayas in the presence of the chenveni is kehechad alich chisum minei. Because essentially, what are the poyalim swearing? They're swearing that they never get paid from the chenveni. You know, look the chenveni in the eye and swear takanat to the chenveni, because maybe the chenveni could also be a nishba v'naitel. Swear to the balabus. But the point is that the poyalim, we are going to want them to swear b'maymat chenveni. Swearing b'maymat chenveni will trigger like an ein of the meis pana, which is a theme that underpins the laws of shvuas, and maybe by that we'll hopefully get the poyalim to not swear falsely. But what emerged from this little exchange of the Gemara in terms of what is shitas Rebbe is a third shita, maybe. Right? Because we don't know what Shitas Rebbe is. But at the very least, the possibility that there might be a third Shita. The Shita of the Stam Mishnah is Shneim Nishban V'Noitlin. That's why it's one of the cases of Nishban V'Noitlin, number 5, if you're keeping score at home. There's the Shita Benanis, who says that Sai the Poyalim and Sai the Chenveni get to take Shalai B'Shvo. Each one has a Taina. We can't have them both swear. So the Balabai should be more careful in the future. But at the end of the day, he trusted both of them, and each one's going to end up taking Shaloi B'Shvua. And then we have the third Shita, which is a Suffolk. It might be Shitas Rebbe, we're not sure. But Al Kaponim, the third Shita would be that the Poyalim are entitled to get, albeit B'Shvua, to the extent that the Poyalim are going to swear, the Chenveni is going to end up getting nothing. And really, to a degree, then, the way we would view the Shvua of the Chenveni is not only, the Shvua of the Poyalim is not only that he's swearing to the Balabayas, but he's also swearing to the Chenveni, and hence the Lashon and that Braisa, which was Poyalim nishpoyen lich and v'nei. Either way, this concludes the very first part of today's daf. So if you wanted to break up today's daf into parts, there would be a lot of parts. But this is the first part. Moving along. Zok t'gemar itmar. Shtei kitei edim hamakrishois zuazu. So if you have two kitei edim that were makrish each other. So two kitei edim walked into Bezdin. One cat said one way, the other cat said the other way. One of these two kitim are liars, which means that one of these two kitim, either Reuven and Shimon or Levi and Yehuda, right? One of these two kitim should not be trusted in the future. Stating that, Amar Rav Huna said, Zu babif ne'atzma u'me'ido, v'zu babif ne'atzma me'ido. Each kat edim independently is going to be considered kasher latest. And the reason is being that it's a safik, they have a cheskes kashrus, so as it relates to future idiots, each one is going to have an amas. Rav Chizda said, Bahadi sa'adi sha'akri lamali. We know for sure one of these two sets of edim are liars, and as a result, who's interested in doing business from Bezdin's perspective? Why would they be makabel edus that might be liars? To the extent that there's a suffix with regards to each one of these kitei edim, they might not be telling the truth. As a result, none of them are going to be believed. So this is a yusoidus thing in machlokes. Rav Huna holds shtei kitei edim amachicha zuazu. Each one of these kitei edim are kosher to say edus individually. Zu babif ne'atzmum ida, zu babif ne'atzmum ida. Rav Chizda says absolutely not. They're both going to be puzzle. He's suffix, but they're both going to be puzzle. Bahadi sahadi shakri lomeli. If this sounds familiar, it's because it comes up elsewhere, most notably Bava Basra, the Flamed Aleph on the Beige, which of course is the crux of Perecheskes Abatim. But either way, what does this Machlikis, Rav Huna and Rav Chizda have to do with us? I mean, we've been discussing directly and indirectly some of the biggest sugyas in Noshim Nezikin. But how specifically does this Machlikis, Rav Huna and Rav Chizda relate to the Mishnah here in the beginning of Perek Kol Nishpam? So the Gemara makes a little bit of cheshbon. The Gemara says, as it relates to applying this machlokes Rav Huna and Rav Chizda to a situation where there's a malva oloiva and these two edim, these two kitim, are signed on a shtar, this is the way it play itself out. A little bit of cheshbon. Shnei malvin v'shnei loivin v'shnei shtars. In the event that you would have two malvin, two loivin, both of their loans are recorded on individual shtaris. One of the kitei edim are signed on one of the shtaris, and the other, the kitei edim are signed on the other shtaris. So just put names to the faces. Reuven loaned money to Shimon, and he has one of these kitei edim signed on the shtar. Levi loaned money to Yehuda, and he has one of these kitei edim signed on the shtar. So what's the halacha? Could we trust the shtar? Could we not trust the shtar? So Gemara says, that's easy. Hanu plukta. This is mamash machlokes Rav Huna and Rav Chizda. According to Rav Huna, zubav babav ne'atzum idav, zubav babav ne'atzum idav, so each one of these shtaris are going to be kosher. According to Rav Chizda, b'hadis sakri shakri lomali, these shtaris are not going to be okay. Malva v'loiva v'shnei shtaris. What would be if it's one malva, one loiva? It's Reuven and Shimon. One malva and one loiva, and they are recorded on two different shtaris, because it was two separate loans, and one of the kitei edim are signed on one of the shtaris, and the other, the kitei edim, are signed on the other of the shtaris. Here the halach is, yad bala shtara tachtoina. There'd be no machloikis Rav Huna, Rav Chizda. Everybody would agree that the malva can take from the loiva the lesser of the value of the two loans. Why? Because over here, one person wants to go over to one person based on the two kitei edim. Sai Rav Huna, Sai Rav Chizda agree that one of them apostle. Also, Sai Rav Huna, Sai Rav Chizda agree that only one of them apostle. So we hear Rav Huna, who said Zubav Sneatzmid is not going to allow to take both, because he acknowledges that Mamon of Shach, one of them is not good. And Rav Chizda, who said Bahadis Sadishak Ulamali, is also going to acknowledge you could take both, because he also understands it's only Misafik Bahadis Sadishak Ulamali. But if it's the same Malva, the same Loi, there's no impact. So if there's no impact, right, because Mamon of Shach, one of them is mine. So for sure, you're going to be able to take one. Now, we don't know which one of the Dukuti Eden is the good one, which one is the bad one. So, Maman of Shach, you're entitled to the lesser of the two. If you want more, Moitz Mechaber Alvaraya. But the point is, Yad Bala Shtar, Alatach Toina, the person holding the Shtar, has the lesser hand. And as a result, he's going to be able to get only the lesser of the two. What would be if it was Shnei Malvin V'Loi V'Echad? What would be if you had two Malvas and one Loiva? So, two people loan money to the same person. So, Reuven and Shimon both loan money to Levi. V'shtei shtaris. And they were recorded on two different shtaris. And you have these two kitei edim that are being made on the two shtaris. So the Gemara says, you wonder what the halach is? And this is why we're having this conversation right now. Haynu masnisin. This would be our Mishnah. Now, let's just go through this. As it relates to Rav Chizda, Says Rashi, it's pasha. It's not going to be okay. Rav Chisda holds Bahadi Sadi Shakri Lomeli. Each one of these shtaris are a suffix that they might not be a kosher shtar, and as a result, there's no way we're going to be able to use the shtar. The question is, I'll leave it to Rav Huna. Rav Huna, who said Zu Babif Neyatzma Meida, the Zu Babif Neyatzma Meida. Over here, it's two shtaris. So you have over here two malvin. Each malvin is going to say, I don't know, my Eidim have a cheskes kashrus, and my Eidim have a cheskes kashrus. And that's why, according to Rav Huna, it should be okay, right? You don't have the Mamon of Shach over here, because it's two malvin, right? So, L'chayr, in this case, it should be okay. What's the tzadna? The tzadna is it's one loifa. And from the poor loifa, to quote Rashi, from this loifa ha'ani, from his perspective, what is he supposed to do? Meaning, for sure, one of these loans are going to be taken from him, shalaykedin, because they're being taken based on Eidim, that apostle. There's a mammon of Shach Cheshbin that's playing itself out, clapping the loiva, afilo alibi the Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, Zubal b'fneyatz, but now when there's a mammon of Shach, that was the previous case. So we hear this in a mammon of Shach, obiyin na mitzad the loiva, mitzad the loiva. Obizokti gemara gishmak, hainu mas nisin. This is the chen b'nei alpen kasoi. Because what do you see in the chen b'nei alpen kasoi? That where two people have a tfiyah on somebody, where the poyelim have a tfiyah on the balabayas, and the chen b'nei has a tfiyah on the balabayas. Even though mammon of Shach, really, one of them is lying. But at the end of the day, you look at it from the perspective of the nitva. This poor nitva, it is what it is. He's going to have to pay both. That's already semantics. The fact that this person is going to end up getting messed up doesn't bother me. Because being that from the Toiveya's perspective, each one has a bona fide taina, I don't care that mitzad the nitva, it's not the way it is. So says the Gemara, Alibi de Rafuna, Zuba b'fneyatzma me'ido, v'zuba b'fneyatzma me'ido, which means that each one of the Toiveya's, each one of the Malvas, has a legitimate taina. I mitzad the loiva, he's getting messed up, my man of Shach. Hainu Masisim. Now, there's Machlokes Rishonim over here, which we're certainly not going to go into, but there's Machlokes Rishonim, where the Hainu Masisim means that each one of these marbles are going to have to swear Taka, that it wasn't paid, and that this is all legitimate loan, or it means that Filosh Shalabishul. The point is, Hainu Masisim, the Musik, that you see this idea in the Mishnah that even though one person's getting messed up, but at the same time, if each one of these Teveyas has a legitimate tiny, we look at him inside the Teveya, we don't look at him inside the Nitva. But either way, says the Gemara, that's easy. Hainu Masisim, Mamish the Mishnah. What's not clear is what would be the fourth permutation. What would be Beis Leiv and Malva Echad? What would be if there's one Malva who's coming after two Leivin? So basically, there was one Reuven. He loaned money to Shimon and he loaned money to Levi. So there's two people that owe money. Vishnei Shtaris, and it's recorded on two Shtaris, and he has two Kitei Eidim. So the question is, could he now go over to the to Leuven and collect from both of them, or would he not be able to go now and collect from both of them? Now again, I'll leave it to Rav Chisda Bahadisad Shakri Lomali. That's Pasha. He's not going to be able to. The only time Rav Chisda allows you to collect is when Mammon of Shach you're able to take from the person you're trying to take from. Over here, there's no Mammon of Shach, because each one of these Leuven container that, I don't know, my star is not a legitimate star, and as a result, I don't owe you anything. The question is, I'll leave it to Rav Huna, who holds Zu Babif Neyatzma Meida, the Zu Babif Neyatzma Meida. Do we say that being that each star individually has a koyach, so it's going to be okay? Or do we say that at the end of the day, you're going to have one Malva who's going to be taking from two Leuven, and for sure this Malva doesn't have a schus to take from the two Leuven, he's not going to be able to. Isn't that the Mishnah? No, it's not the Mishnah. The Mishnah was the Nitva. The Mishnah was the case where there's one Nitva and two people are trying to take from him. Where you don't have a Toiveya who's for sure taking something from someone that he's not allowed to take. You have a Nitva who's for sure giving something that he doesn't have to give. That's the chiddush of chen v'nei alpen kasei mitashvo anashvo. But that's what underpins the chiddush of chen v'nei alpen kasei. But to do it in the reverse order, where someone's going to be mamon of shach taking something he's not allowed to take, will you nechetesi? I don't know. Now, maybe yeah, maybe not. But no, I mean, I can make the argument. What's the difference? If it's true by chen v'nei alpen kasei, why shouldn't it be true in this case? But I could also hear Afshinish says the Gemara. My, what's the loch? Take you for this already. We're going to have to wait. Faliyo atishbi to come and to tell us what exactly the halach is going to be. We just mentioned the machloikas between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Shtei kitei edem amakishe zu azu. Rav Huna said zu babif neyatz me'ida v'zu babif neyatz me'ida. Rav Chisda said, Bahadi, Sahadi, Shakri, Lomali. So the Gemara now is going to digress and talk about this machlokes for a minute. Masa Rav Huna bar Yehuda, Rav Huda asked the kasha from a Mishnah in Mesechtes Rosh Hashanah. Echad Eimim Gevayi Beis Mardoi. So it's talking about where two Eidim walked into Beis Din and they were testifying that they saw the new moon. So one Eid walked in and he said, I saw the moon. They asked him, how high was it? He said it was Beis Mardoi. So we're not farmers, but Beis Mardas is an axe's goat. If you know what that is, Ashrecha. But either way, so one eight said that it was Gavoya Beis Mardois. The other one said Shalosh. It wasn't two, it was three. Eight. Doesn't Kayames. Even though they're off, so it sounds like they were Makhish each other. It doesn't matter. It's not considered Eidei Akasha. And the reason is very simple, because it could be the person didn't know how to make the Cheshbin Mamish. Was it two or was it three? Echadami Gimel, Echadami Hey. What if one says it was three and the other one says it was five? It was a Mateo. One of these Chevra not telling the truth. Stating that, Umitstarfin Le'idus Acher. This is what we need. That any one of these two Eidim could go now and be Mitstarif with another Eid. So the Gemara says, my love, Eidus Mamma, doesn't it sound like each one of them are considered to be kosher eidim. Now, Bishlam, according to Rav Huna, Zubab, if they ask me, the Zubab, if they ask me, they understand the Cheskes Kashrus. But according to Rav Chisda, Bahadi, Sahadi, Shakri, Lamali, why would I let any one of these eidim go now and be made regarding eid this moment? Now, I'll have to be Mitzar for another eid. Maybe it'll be Mechayv Shvua, right? But why are we letting this guy go ahead and be made? L'chayr it's a Safik, he might be a liar. So isn't this a Kashan Rav Chisda? So the Mar says, no, because Amar Rava says, I'll tell you what the case of the Mishnah means when it says, Mitzar for eid Sacheris, it means, who the Achar Mitzar. What it means is not Eidus Mamim. In fact, what it means is this particular Eidus. What it means is that if another Eid would walk in now and would say Gimel Mardois or Hey Mardois, so now you would have two against one, and mean they have two against one, it would be okay. Because then it's two against one. Meaning, if we end this story with two Eidim that were Makrish each other, so now, according to Rav Chisda, Bahadis Sadeh Shakri, I'm not going to trust him somewhere else. So what does it mean when Mitzvah Leidus Chayr? So it means if another eight comes, and he says what one of these two Chevra are saying, so now it's two against one, the two would knock out the one, it's not Eidus Mokreshes anymore, it's only to do with Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. If we end up with a Rav Huna and Rav Chisda and a Chanami, but when we say, Mitzvah Leidus Chayr, Eidus Chayr means this Eidus. Now Rashi Grada speaks out, so if it's this Eidus, then why are we calling it Eidus Chayr? Right, with Kasha. The Gemara thought it's Eidus Chayr, because that's what the Mishnah says. No, it doesn't mean Eidus Acheres. It means really this Eidus. So then why we call it an Eidus Acheres? So Rashi says, V'hainu Eidus Acheres, Shenasis Katsua Mitztarefes Eidus Acheres La'atzma B'chodesh Zeh. Because now that it's not an Eid Echad, meaning initially it was two Chevra together, that was the Kat. They happened to have contradicted each other, which posed the problem. Now another Eid came, so one of these two guys can now be Mitztaref with that other Eid and create a new Kat. But they're being made on the same exact uvda. So that in this uvda gufa, it's two against one. You don't have that kasha, that's why it's going to be okay. But the only reason it's called Eidus Acheres is because this one guy who now has an Eid HaMisayei, right? So he started off being in a cot together with this compadre who, you know, they weren't on the same page. They had to get their story straight. Now all of a sudden he's with another guy. It's Eidus Acheres because it's a new Shem Kat Eidus. But in terms of what they're being made on, it's the same thing. And this concludes the second part of today's daf. So going back to the Mishnah. After the Mishnah mentioned the five cases of Nishba V'Noitel, the Socher, the Nigzal, the Nechbal, Shekinek, the Chashat al-Ashvua, and now the Chen V'Nei al-Pinkasai. So the Mishnah mentioned another case related to a Chen V'Nei al-Pinkasai that involved a machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. So what was the case? The case was when somebody goes over to a chenfini and he tells him, Tainli bediner peiris. Could you please give me a dinar's worth of peiris? And he gives it to him. The chenfini goes over to this person and he says, I just gave you the peiris that you requested. Give me the dinar that you owe me. If he tells him, Nasativ lecha, I gave it to you already. I put it into your money bag. He says, no, you didn't. I didn't see you do it. So what's the halacha? So it was a machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. The Chacham said, Yishava ba'alabai shenosle esadinar. Ba'alabai swears that he gave him the dinar. And as long as he swears that he gave him the dinar, then he's going to be able to keep the peiris. But otherwise, he won't be able to keep the peiris. Rabbi Yehuda said, Kol sha peiris b'yoda yoda yaloyan. That as long as he's holding on to the peiris, this balabas, this buyer, so then he's not going to have to swear. Because to the extent he's holding on to the peiris, we explained this in the Mishnah, there's an undana that he must have made payment. Because we're dealing with a chenvini that didn't give on credit. And being that he didn't give on credit, so it's not mistaber that he would have given you the peiris had he not gotten paid. So the story of the buyer is just resonating more than the story of the Chenveni, and it's for that reason he won't have to swear. So according to the Chachamim, he has to swear. It's an example of a Nishba V'Noitel, falls under the purview of the Nishba V'Noitels of Chenveni Alpin Kasei, as opposed to according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's Yodel Al Yoina, being that he's holding the Peiris, he doesn't even have to swear. Now, the Gemara brought this case, or the Mishnah, I should say, brought this case in a second context as well. And that was in the context of Shulchani. What was the case of the Shulchani? So it's the same exact case, but instead of a Chenveni, we're dealing with a Shulchani. The case was where somebody goes over to a Shulchani and he tells him that I need to exchange money. Can you give me a dinar's worth of mois, right? A dinar's worth of prutais. I'm looking for small coins. I'm going to give you a dinar, you give me the money. And he gave it to him. And then afterwards, he says, give me the dinar. He says, I gave you the dinar already. He says, no, you didn't. So the same machleks. The Chachamim say, Yishavah Balabayis, you should swear that he gave him the dinar. The Chachamim say, no, if he's holding on to the mice, there's an umdinar that the Shulchani must have given, would not have given him the mois had he not first received the dinar, therefore yada el al yoyna, and he's not going to have to swear. So the Gemara now is going to make two comments as it relates to this machloik is Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Comment number one. Amar lechen v'nitein lebedinu peres v'chule. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yehuda said, Ein mosai, when do I agree with the Chachamim? That halacha is that the buyer is nishba v'noito, meaning not yada el al yoyna, that's bisman shaperes v'chule v'nachem. That's if the peiros are not in his rishos, they're in a bundle, they're sitting somewhere, ushnei meirin aleim, and they're fighting over it. What are they fighting about? They're fighting, did he pay him or did he not pay him? Aval hiv shivam bekupasei lachayrav. But once he already has it in his rentzel, so he's holding on to it already, right? He's carrying it as on his shoulder. Hamoitzim mechaveri olav araya, right? It's pashit. The whole Rabbi Yehuda is that he's muchzik in it right now. Being that he's muchzik, hamoitzim mechaveri olav araya, so why should I have to swear? Yad bal haperos, or yad bal hamois, in the case of the shulchan, is alo yon. But Rabbi Yehuda says, Avad, I agree, if that's Spurim, we're having the same machlik, so he doesn't physically have it in his hand right now, so then you're not going to have this halach. So the Mishnah mentioned the same exact machlik, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, and it mentioned it in two contexts. One was in the context of a chenveni, and somebody's buying pears from the chenveni, and the other one was in the context of a shulchani, where somebody is exchanging money. Says Gemara, "Tzricha, I need both cases." Yes, meaning Hakam Ma'aseh. I only had the case of the Paris. I would have thought, "Hakam Rabbanon." Maybe over there, the Rabbanon achaylik with Rabbi Yehuda. All right, let's just take a step back for a second. What is the machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham? Rabbi Yehuda holds that although there's a he said, but the argument of the person that's coming to buy the peiros is a much better argument. Because usually the chenveni would not give the peiros if he didn't get paid first. And being that he has the peiros in his hand, he's already a muchzik on the peiros, and he has this taino, so at this point, I might say, same is true by the shulchani. Shulchani would not have given you all these prutos if you didn't first give him the dinar. The chamim are not nispal from that taino, right? Why? We don't know. But they're not nispal from the taino. So the Gemara says that it's really in the svaris that underlie whether we should accept Rabbi Yehuda's svara and not accept Rabbi Yehuda's svara, that explains why we needed two cases. Again, because tiyash min hakamaisa, had I only had the case of the chenveni and the peiros, I would have thought, bahachka amri rabbanon. Maybe it's over there that the rabbanon don't subscribe to the svara of Rabbi Yehuda. And they hold that this buyer has to be nishva v'noito, and the reason is, mishum de peiri avidi de markevi. Because peiros go bad. V'kivin the markevi, meaning that they spoil, like mashile. Meaning the chenveni knows that if I don't deliver the goods right now, it could be the sale's going to be off. The guy's not going to want to take it. So as much as he sells shaloi bakofa, and there's an umdina that, you know, show me the money, right? And then I'll give you the payros. But at the same time, being that the payros go bad, it could be he has a quick finger on the trigger, and therefore he's going to give it right away. But when it comes to money which doesn't spoil, right? I mean, there's something called inflation, but it doesn't spoil. So maybe in that case, he would be moide to Rabbi Yehuda. He would say, the umdin is so stark that the chenveni would not have given the mois had he not first received the dinar. So that's why, just because we had the case of the peiros, I still need the case of the shulchani. Okay, so then just tell me the case of the shulchani. I would know that even in that case, the chacham hold the other. Answer is obvious. Maybe that's where Rabbi Yehuda is chaylik. But when it comes to the peiros, they believe in this svara of markevi. And just because he gave it to him, maybe there's no umdara, maybe it has to be in this v'naito, in maidul rabban, and tzricha. That's why we needed both cases. And this concludes the third part of today's daf. Now comes the fourth and really the longest part of the daf. K'shem sha'amra pegemes k'subasa v'chulu. V'chein, or if you remember in the Mishnah, some had the Girsa Kain, Rashi had the Girsa Kach, Hayasimin Lo Yipar. So what's going on in this part of the Mishnah? And really, we had a little bit of a preview to this part of the Sugya in yesterday's daf. And that is the Shvuas HaYarshin. So the Mishnah talked about an idea called Shvuas HaYarshin. What's Shvuas HaYarshin? So if Yisoyim have a shtar, that's the case. They're holding on to a shtar. Their father died, left over a shtar choiv. Somebody owed the father money. So Yisoyim have the shtar right now. They're looking to collect. So the halach is they have to swear. What's the shvuah? So the Mishnah said they have to swear, number one, shvuah shaloi pakadnu abba, v'shaloi omar lanu abba, v'shaloi matzinu bein shtarois v'shalav v'shashtar zepiro. Number one, they have to swear our father didn't tell us before he died that this is all aleid. Number two, shaloi omar lanu. What's the difference? Pakad lanu, omar lanu. But the point is he has to swear that the father didn't give them some sort of tzivoy, that all this is gone. Additionally, they also have to say they didn't find the shtar bein shtarois. They didn't find a receipt or some sort of document that says that really all of this was already paid. But this is the basic halacha, that if Yisoyimim are looking to collect from a loiva based on a shtar that they inherited from their father, the halacha is they would have to swear, shvuah shloi pakadnu abba, shloi amalanu abba, and we didn't find any shtar bein shtarois. It says the Gemara Miman. When we say the Yisoyimim that are coming to collect have to swear, who are they trying to collect from? And who are they swearing to? It doesn't mean that they have a shtar and they're trying to collect directly from the loiva. I don't understand why they would have to swear. If the father was alive and he had a shtar, right, as long as he has edim and he was mekayim the shtaris, he checked off all the boxes you have to whenever you collect money with a shtar. So luchayr would be able to collect b'loy shvua. So why should the assignment be in a lesser position? If the father was holding the shtar, he wouldn't have to do anything to collect. So why should they not be able to collect? So the Gemara says, you're right. Hachi kamar. This is what the Mishnah means. V'chein hayisoyimim min hayisoyimim lo yupar al b'shvua. It means that the assignment are collecting from the assignment. If the Yisayimim of the Malva are coming to collect from the Yisayimim of the Leiva, that's the halacha of the Mishnah. That's when you have the Shvuas HaYorshin. That's when these Chevra would have to swear, Shloi Pakadnu, V'Shloi Amanu, Lonu, and we didn't find any Shtar that said that this was Peru. Why is this better? Because to the extent that the Leiva is also not alive, if the father was coming to collect, the father would also have to swear. But what's the kasha? Why should the Yisayimim have to swear? Why should they be worse than the father? The teretz is, they're not worse than the father. It's talking about a case where the Yisoyimim are collecting from Yisoyimim. If the father was alive, he would also have to swear. And being that if the father was alive, he would have to swear, so it's not fair that the Yisoyimim should have to swear. Now, to be clear, and this is like mamish from the most critical points in terms of understanding this also. If the father was alive, the father would have to swear. Why? Because haboli par menechsi Yisoyim lei par ela b'shvu. But the point is, he would have to swear. It's for that reason, if the Yisoyimim come along now and they want to collect, they would also have to swear. What's their shvu? Their shvuah is the shvuah sayarshim of the Mishnah. But to be clear, the shvuah that the father would have to swear and the shvuah sayarshim is not the same shvuah, right? What's the shvuah that the father would have to swear? That I was never paid. What's the shvuah that the Yisoyimim are going to swear? My father was never paid? They don't really know. All they know is the Tata never said it was paid. Or we didn't find the shtar that says that it was paid. But they can't swear emphatically that it wasn't paid. Because how do they know? They don't know their father's business dealings. So the father would have to swear, the Yisoyim have to swear. The point is, the Gemara is just making, that it can't be there's a shvuah sayarshim if the tata wouldn't have to swear. Says the Gemara, if the Yisoyim are coming to collect directly from the loiva, being that the father would not have to swear, right? If you collect with a chav, there's a lot of things you have to do. You need edim, you need kim shtaris, but a shvuah you don't have to make. So if the father wouldn't have to swear, there's no reason the Yisoyim should have to swear. But if they're collecting from the assignment, be that the father's swearing, so the tat is anyway swearing. So now we can be misakin, the shvuah sayarshim. But again, to be clear, the shvuah that the father would be making and the shvuah that the assignment would be making is not the same shvuah. The father's shvuah is that you never paid me, right? Or your father never paid me. And the assignment shvuah is shaloi pakadnu v'shaloi amalanu, and we didn't find any shtar. And really, that distinction plays itself out big time in the next words of Gemara. Says the Gemara, Rav and Shmuel Damri Chavai. Rav and Shmuel both commented on the Mishnah. That one. Again, the Mishnah. The Mishnah says Shvuas HaYorshim, and the Gemara clarified Shvuas HaYorshim is only Negeya when Yorshim are collecting from Yorsh. Because if the Yorshim are collecting directly from the Levi, the father wouldn't have to swear, so why should the Yorshim be worse? But said Rav and Shmuel this, that the Yorshim have to swear from the Yorshim, this is only true. It's only if the Malva had died before the Levi. Again, they're both dead, right? Say the Malva, Sali, Levi. The Yorshim are collecting from the Yorshim. But it's only true if the Malva died before the Levi. But if the Levi would have died before the Malva. At that point, the Malva, if he would have wanted to have collected, he would have needed to make a shvuah, right? We just said, what would the shvuah have been? That your father never paid me. Being that the father
before he died, although he had a schus in this money, based on his shtar chayv, but he would have had to make a shvua. Now that he dies, the yisraeli can't collect at all. You know why? Because the in of the meirish shvua lebanav. Because a person can't be meirish shvua. You can be meirish money, but you can't be meirish money that has a string attached to it, which is go ahead and swear. Now, Rashi in yesterday's daf, and here again, speaks out that if the Yisoyman would have had the ability to make the same exact shvua that the father's making, then you could have been meirish shvua lebanav. Mamacha rishon l'sheni kol schushin. Double the other, right? Mamirish, you know, tata lebanov kol schush. Double the other. So just like a father could be mirish money, he could be mirish money that has some contingency associated. Right? It's a contingent asset. It's an asset that really is totally in a shvur. Okay, the tata swore, the children swear. The problem is the children can't swear the shvur of the tata. Now let them make another shvur. It's not the same shvur. Ain't the mirish shvur lebanov, and as a result, in this situation, the children would not be able to get it all. So said Rav and Shmuel both, that even though it's Mavur in the Mishnah, that Yarshim, that are Goyver from Yarshim, that's fine, albeit with the newfound Shvuas HaYarshim, the only time this is going to be true is if the Malva died before the Leiva. Meaning, at the time that the Malva died, or a moment before the Malva died, if he wanted to collect from the Leiva, he could have just collected from the Leiva. As a result, his schus at the time of his petira was a regular schus mamen. It's a chayv, but that's fine. It's a regular schus mamen. He could be married that to his children. But if the loiva would have died before the malva, that means a moment before the malva died, his whole schus was merenit al yedei shvur. Ino the merish shvur lebanav, and as a result, he wouldn't be able to collect anything. So really, before we invoke the shvurs hayyashim of the Mishnah, we need to produce death certificates, and we have to see, mamish, who died first? This is a real shayla. If the malva died first, shvurs hayyashim. If the loiva died first, then not, says the Gemara. So who said this? Rav Ushmul da Amri Travayo. If you remember in yesterday's daf, the Gemara referred to them as Rabbi Yisenu Shebe Bavel. Says the Gemara, Shalchu Kamei Rabbi Lazar. They sent this Shaila. Mamish, the Rav and Shmuel Shaila. They're Kenech in the Sugya. They sent it to Rabbi Lazar. Shalchu means they sent it, like far away, right? Rabbi Lazar was a Talmud Muvik of Rabbi Yochanan. He lives in Eretz Yisrael. So this is a psak for Rabbi Yisenu Shebe Bavel. They're sending the Shaila now to Eretz Yisrael. And they said, Shfua zu mativa. Right? What would be the halacha in the case of Rav and Shmuel? Shalachlu, he sent them back. Yarshim nishba in shfuas yarshin v'noitlin. I disagree with Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel said they can't swear. No, we all, they would be able to swear. Shalchu b'mei Rav Ami. They sent this shayla again to Eretz Yisrael. And this time, it was in the days of Rav Ami. So this was like a little bit later. So they sent this shayla to Rav Ami. Amar Rav Ami said, Kulay hai shalchi lav azli. Keep on sending letters from Bavel with the same exact Shaila. So why do you keep on sending? We know the Shaila, right? This is a well-known Shaila. If we had a Pesachidish to say, Miloy Shalchinalu, do you think we wouldn't have sent it to you? Elam Ravami, but Ravami said, and this is something that's quoted a lot by Poiskin, the name of Amilsa. No, I'll tell you the truth. I didn't really, but Mamaisa knew as the Frank's name of Amilsa, and like when the Chassam Sofer says it, you get like an 8-page tshuva after this, right? So nu halva asli yadon name of Amilsa, and this was his Milsa. Amat bedin umeis. In the event that there was already a hamada bedin between the malva and the yorshei aloiv. Again, what's the case of Rav and Shmuel when meis loiv and achra case malva? So if there was a mod between the malva and the yorshim of the loiv, then kfar neschayiv malva lebnei loivishvul. At that point, bezin would have paskin, because what would the mod be? You want to collect with a shtar? Aboli par menachsi samali par el b'shvul. So bezin would have paskin that there's a chiyashvul. Once bezin paskin there's a chiyashvul, ve'en adamar yashvul the bon. Then I agree with Rav and Shmuel's halach. But loiv amad bedin u meis. But let's say there was no hamod bedin and then meis. So the loiv died. There was no hamod. But then, and then the Malva died, then Yarshim, Nishpan, Shfuas, Yarshim, and Neutlin, because since there was no Amad Bedin, this, so Rav Ami said, listen, I'll tell you the truth, I really wasn't going to say anything, but nu, Ha'ova, Asal, Yad, the name of Amilsa, this is my thought. I'm the Kosev Ashlishi, I'm Machriya Bine. I don't hold like Rav and Shmuel that Meis Aloiva, you're out. I don't hold like Rabbi Lazar, who cares, Meis Aloiva first, Meis Amalva first. What I hold is that it depends on was there a Amad Bedin, because if there's a Amad Bedin, if it's Kapaskin by Bezin, that there's a Chiyav Shvu, oh, now ain't another Meir Shvu the Bam. The Gemara says, Maskar of Nachman, Nachman, who Ravam Yischilik, and he said, I don't understand, Otu Beidinu Ka Mechayvi Le Shvu. Is Bezdin really the one that's being mechayiv the shvur? Be'idna the shachiv loyve chayiv le ma'av the bnei loyve shvur. It's the misa of the loyve that's mechayiv the shvur. I mean, when do you find that a mother bedin matters in halacha? Like by knosis, for example, right? Where there's a din, ashe yashiyun alayhim, Bezdin is the one that shtels avek the psak, right? Moed beknas is butter. So that's where you always have these types of sugyas. Farah mother bedin, lacha mother bedin. But when it comes to a chiyiv mamin, or Chiv Shvua, it's not Bezdin that's being Mechadish the Chiv. Bezdin has the ability to administer the Chiv, but they're not the Mechadish the Chiv. So Rav Nachman said, if you hold like Rav and Shvua, you have to hold like him, and if you don't, you don't hold like him. But to go ahead and say it's totally in that mother, but it makes no sense. Elam Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman, I'll tell you what I think. I'm not sure. I mean, that's what sounds like Rav Nachman saying. I'm not sure if you all like Rav Shmuel, you don't like Rav Shmuel. But yo, nish nish. But at the end of the day, this spalt, I don't agree. Says the Gemara, 1 second, Rav Nachman? Alma Mesafkele? Whoa. So Rav Nachman wasn't sure if the halacha is like Rav Shmuel? Okay. Why is that such a big deal? I mean, it's always interesting where Rav Nachman holds in these sugyas. But this Lashon of the Gemara sounds like a little bit Alma Masafkele, that the Gemara is a little bit troubled by that. Because from Rav Yezeb Amin Yumi, Rav Yezeb Amin Yumi said, Avad Rav Nachman Uvda Yachloiku. The Rav Nachman once paskin the Yachloiku. Now, when did Rav Nachman paskin the Yachloiku? And if this line of Gemara sounds familiar, it's because we had this yesterday. And the context over there was where Shneim Chshudin Alashvu, where you had Saida Toivei and Saida Nitva. We're both Chashin al Ashvu, right? They're both Chashin al Ashvu. So what's the halach? So in the Mishnah, it's always a machloikis. Do you say Chazra Shvulim Kaima, or do you say Yachloiku? And the Amiram weren't sure whether Rav Yoisi was the one that said Chazra Shvulim Kaima. May I say Yachloiku, or vice versa? Rav Nachman said that Rav Yoisi was the one that said Yachloiku, not like the way we have it in the Mishnah. And because Rav Yoisi was the one that said Yachloiku, and Rav Yoisi's Nimukayim, he said that's why Ovad Rav Nachman Uvde Yachloiku. So that's why he went ahead and he did Yachloiku. What's the kasha? The kasha is that, if you remember, in yesterday's daf, the Gemara brought Rav and Shmuel as one of the two biurim in the shita of Chazra Shvulim Kaima, in the shita of what Rav Nachman believed was Rav Meir. The Gemara said, what does it mean Chazra Shvulim Kaima? The Rabbi Snenu Sheva Babel said, it means Chazra Shvul Sinai, which means we're going away. We're recusing ourselves. We're not going to have anything to do with this. The Rabbi Seinu Shavet Tzrol, the Gemara said, was Rav Abba of Naskit Rav Abba fame. He said, Mitoshen Yochel Shavim Mishalim. And the halach is, the Nitva right now is going to have to pay. But the Gemara said that Rav and Shmuel, if you hold like them, then as it relates to Shneim Chshudin Al HaShvua, the halach is going to be, the Bezin's going to walk away. It was a nafkamina ramification of this sheet as Rav and Shmuel. Right, again, just to explain this a little bit, because what are Rav and Shmuel both saying? Rav and Shmuel are saying that in the event that the loiva died before the malva, eino the meira shvul abanav, and as a result, these yusayim are not going to be able to collect with the shtar. Nothing's going to happen. Nishmita shmua, nishlana shmua, the nitva's not going to have to swear. Bezins basically say, chazur shvul asinai. And we're out. We're not going to have anything to do with this. And that's why the Gemara said, oh, if Rabbi Shmuel said it over here, they're probably the chazur shvul asinai, Rabbi Seinu Shabbababal, and the Gemara said, Rabbi Seinu Shabbababal, it's this Rabbi Shmuel. But again, this was all yesterday's stuff, right? We can work on today's daf, leave yesterday's daf in yesterday's daf. But just one nekuda, in the cheshbon of yesterday's daf, what emerged was, is that really, there's Rav and Shmuel, as it relates to Shneim Chshudim Al HaShvua, there's Rav Abba, Mitoich Shani Yochel L'Shava Meshalim, and then there's Yachloiku, which is the Shita of Rav Yosef. Rav Nachman Paskin, in yesterday's daf, Yachloiku, which would mean then, L'Chaira, that he doesn't hold that when you're in a situation like this where we're stuck, we don't know what to do, that we say like Rav Abba, but we also don't say like Rav and Shmuel. So what's the Gemara's kasha? Rav Nachman said, it sounds a little bit like Rav Nachman is mesupik whether he holds like Rav and Shmuel or not. What do you mean? I know for sure he doesn't hold like Rav and Shmuel, because I know he holds Yachloiku in the Mishnah, and L'Chaira, Rav and Shmuel is one of three Shitas in the Mishnah, Yachloiku is another one of the three Mishnas in the Shitas in the Mishnah, and if Rav Nachman was of the Yachloiku, that means we know for sure he doesn't hold. So it's just a cheshbon Gemara here that we know he doesn't hold like Rav and Shmuel. So the Gemara says, you're right, he doesn't. L'dvarv der Ameir, come have a lay sphere. You want to know Rav Nachman held? Look at yesterday's daf. He was of Yachloiku. When he said today, Yisrael Rav Shmuel Isi, lesa, he meant it in the world of Rameir. Which Rameir? Not the Rameir of our Mishnah, in Rav Nachman's Girsin Rameir, who holds Chazur Shulam and Kaima, which would then lead to the concept of a Chazur Shul Sinai, which is the Shita of Rav and Shmuel, or maybe not, I'm not sure. Meaning, L'dvar of the Rameir, I can hear Rav and Shmuel, I can hear not Rav and Shmuel, Chapsa Nafkamina, L'dvar of the Rameir, had to learn the Mishnah, Chapsa Nafkaminas as well, but Enochanam, you can't ask a steer, because Rav Nachman Taka's Sufik is not in his own Shita. His own Shita is Yachloiku, it's all L'dvar of the Rav. But either way, let's just come off a breath for a second. And that is, what did Rav and Shmuel say? Just getting started with Rav Shmuel. What did Rav Shmuel say? Rav Shmuel said that Although in the Mishnah it's Mavur, that there's something called Shvus HaYarshan. And the Gemara clarified Shvus HaYarshan only makes sense if Yarshan are being goyim from Yarshan. The Yarshan HaMalva are coming to be Teveya, the Yarshan HaLoiv. But the only time it's true is if it was Meis HaMalva V'achakach Meis HaLoiv. So that at the time that the Malva died, or the moment before, he had a regular Shchus Mammon, he could be merged that over to his children. Albeit, the children are going to have to swear, like Pakadnu v'shalayam alanu v'shalayim, you know, matzah alanu v'shalayim. If, however, the loiva would have died before the malva, that would have meant that at the moment that the malva died, or that moment prior, his chus mamin was contingent. It was contingent upon a shvua. Eina the meir shvua l'banav, and the way Rashi explains that could be if the Yisraelim could have made that shvua, it would have been fine, but they can't make that shvua, because the shvua of the father is that I never got paid. The Yisraelim can't swear that the father never got paid, because they don't know. All they can swear is, shalei pakadon v'shalei amalon. But the point is, eina the meir shvua l'banav, and in that case, this halacha is not going to be true. So the Gemara now is going to ask four kashas on Rav and Shmuel, from different mishnayos and braises. The first three are going to be from Ksubis-related halachas. And the truth is, all of these cases that the Gemara is going to bring now is mamish. You'll say, you don't have to take my word for it. Dvar ma'im din beruma shalayla mamish. But there's just one underlying principle. We really need to agav the good points, so we don't have to get too much into the Ksubis case. But there's just one underlying principle we have to be sensitive to. And that is that any time a woman is coming to collect her Ksuba from her husband, the woman is the proverbial malva, and the husband is the proverbial life. Right? When you get married, so there's a contract that's signed, it's called a ksuba, and that comes with chiyuvim. It's very similar to a chayv. Now there's different dinim. Bachayv is going up the beininis, and ksubas ishas bezibur, right? There's different dinim. But the bottom line is that really, if you think about it, the woman is the malva. She's holding on to the shtar, the ksuba, that says her husband owes money, and the husband is the proverbial loifa. And the Gemara is going to bring now three cases where we have often a chazals. You ready? That the halacha is that in the event that a woman's husband dies, which is one of the two ways she would be entitled to ksuba, right? When does a woman get a ksuba? She's an alman or a grusha. So if her husband dies, that's one of the two cases, right, of where she would be entitled to ksuba. And then she dies, her yarshin would be able to collect the ksuba, right? Which sounds very reasonable, right? If a woman's an alman, she's entitled to ksuba. And then she dies, the yarshin. Could they get the ksuba? The Gemara is going to bring three often mishnayos in Masechtes Ksubas with halachas. Yeah, this is a steer at first glance to Rav Shmuel, because if the husband died and then the woman died, you have your proverbial meis haloiva v'achkach meis hamalva, which means that the only way the yisoimim of the Isha, the Yarshim, would be able to get the Ksuba is if they would swear the Shvus HaYarshim of the Mishnah. But Rav and Shmuel said there's no Shvus HaYarshim of the Mishnah when Yarshim are being given from Yarshim, when the Levi died before the mouth. Which would mean that any time the husband dies before the wife, then the Yarshim can't collect. It almost sounds like there's no way that could be the halacha. And in fact, we're going to have three cases now. So again, this is really what's going to happen. We're going to have one, and then two, and then three. But you know what the case is? This is already Ksubis 101. Ve'in kama koyim laharach. Says the Gemara Masa Rav Oishniya. Rav Oishniya said, Mesa, the halacha is if you had an amana, and the woman was living together with the yarshin, and she hadn't collected her ksuba yet. And then she dies. So the halach is Yarsheh, her Yarshim, maskirin es ksubasa ad esrim v'chameshan. Collect the ksuba up to 25 years. Now really the background to this halach is that an Amman is entitled to a ksuba. If she lives together with the Yisayimim, and she lives with them for 25 years, she's moichel her ksuba. If you remember, Abaye says, a minute before 25 years, no, a minute after, yeah. And he told him, kol shirei teirukein, right, mem, sa, is a mikvah, but if it's chaserachas, then already it's not a mikvah, right? This is always the way it works. But this is a magic number, 25 years, not like a Jewish number, 25 years, what is that, a quarter of a century? I never heard such a thing. But al kobanim starts a inyan, right? 25 years, once it's 25, there's going to be already mechil. And that's true not only for the Isha, it's true for the Yarshim as well. So if the Almana, who never collected her ksuba, died, and the Yarshim want to collect the ksuba, so up to 25 years they could. There's a statute of limitations. Once 25 years pass, at that point you can't. What's the catch? We just need one thing. We're not focusing on 25 years now. We just need the Yarshim of the Almana collecting the ksuba. If she was entitled to a ksuba because she's an Almana, by definition, the husband died first. That means it was Meisaloi Vachach Meisamalva. I thought you shouldn't be able to get it. Because the only way to get it would be with a Shvua, that's Pashit. And you can't swear to Shvua Sayyar. question. Isn't that Rabban Shmuel's halach? The Gemara makes a very big daichik to get out of this mess. Gemara says, Hacha b'mayaskinon, shenishbo meis. It's talking about where the woman died, which made a shvua. So before she died, she made a shvua. She swears she never got paid. And then she died. Yotzin ishmasai b'shvua. That's how she ended up dying. Being that she swore already. Now, at this point, the Yarshin shouldn't have to swear. Because once she made the shvua, now it's regular schus moment. The Yarshin regular schus moment. At that point, it's going to be okay. And Chanami, it's a big doichik, but this has to be the case. Tashma, another kasha. Now, the background to this next Mishnah is the halacha of ksubas b'nin dichrin. Well, so what exactly is ksubas b'nin dichrin? So ksubas b'nin dichrin goes like this. So you have a man who was married. And he had children from his wife, and then the wife died. So because she died, so she never got to get her ksuba, right? She gets her ksuba when he dies, or if he gives her a get. But she died, as well, there was no ksuba. In the meantime, he had another wife, and then he eventually died. And when he died, so now the sons from the two wives are going to split the Yerusha. So the halacha is like this. The halacha is that when they go now to split the Yerusha, the sons from the first wife are entitled to the chelek haksuba that their mother would have been entitled to. We take that off the top, and then we go ahead and we divide the rest of the Yerusha. So chiddush shouldn't be that way, because if really the mother was never entitled to the ksuba, mechetesi, but this is one of the dinim of the ksuba. State in the ksuba, it's not ksuba, there's a whole nusach, the Mishnah says, the Mishnah ksuba says how this works. It's what's known as ksubas b'nin dichrin. Stating that, our Mishnah is about to say that although there's a halacha of ksubas b'nin dichrin, the only time this ksubas b'nin dichrin is if there's going to be enough for both. Meaning, if there's going to be enough for the ksubas b'nin dichrin and to make a regular Yerusha. But if not, not. And that's what this Mishnah is talking about. Nasa Rishayna, if he was married to a wife, umesa, and she died, and there were sons from that woman, Nasa Shniya, and then he went and he married someone else, Umeisu, and then he died. So the halacha is, if there's only enough money for the ksubas b'nin dichrin or for regular Yerusha, Shniya v'yarsheha koid min l'yarshe yarishayin. The second wife, or, this is what we need, we just need one word here, or her yarshim are going to be entitled to collect their ksuba before the yarshe yarishayinah are going to be entitled to collect the ksubas b'nin dichrin. So as if the ksuba of the shniya is going to come before the ksubas b'nin dichrin. Right? That's the halacha of the Mishnah. But what do we need? Shniya v'yarsheha. Whether the shniya herself is collecting the ksuba because her husband just died, or she died already, and now her yarshim are coming to collect the ksuba. Either way, that's going to come before the ksubas b'nin dichrin. By the way, the lumdus is, because in the lashon of ksubas b'nin dichrin, it says that the children are yarsi. The way Chazal looked at it is they backed it into the Yerusha. Meaning the man died, says, it's the Yerusha. The way the Yerusha is, it's like a disproportionate Yerusha. Usually the Yerusha is allocated on a certain pro rata basis. Ksubas b'nin dichrin is part of the Yerusha. Being that this wife or her Yarshim are collecting the Ksuba al tzbal choiv, and the Ksubas b'nin dichrin is coming al tzyirish, and Yarshim always have to pay up the choivis, that's why the Gviya Saksuba comes before the Gviya of the Ksubas b'nin dichrin. Even though they're both Ksuba de Ge'inyan, but one is a Yerusha, the Gemara says, and the other one is a regular choiv. But what do we just need is one thing. Shniya v'yarshaya, the Yarshim can't collect. Because if the man died, that means it's Mesa Loiva Bechaya Malva. And right now, when the Malva dies, when the woman dies, Yarshim shouldn't be able to get anything. The Gemara makes the same exact Teretz Hachinami Shinishba Meis. Talking about where she made a shvua and then she died. Being that she had already made the shvua, so now when she died, she's being murdered regular moment, she's being regular moment, everything's going to be okay. So the Gemara Tashma, I'll ask you another kasha. Now, the background to this kasha is where a man got married and he said, Neder Ushvua, Ein Li Alayich, Al Yershayich, I'm not going to force you to ever make a shvua. Meaning, if you're going to come now at any point and you're going to try to collect the ksuba, makes a shvua, not you, not your yarshim, I'm always going to give you the ksuba. I'm not going to put you through the legal ringer. I'm going to give you the money that you're requesting. So says the Mishnah, if somebody makes such a shvua, so the halach is, obviously the shvua is going to be intact. Ava, we pick it up in the sefer, yarshav. If the man dies now, right now the man dies, and he is coming to, or she is coming to collect from the yarshim, so the halach is, yarshav mashpiyanoisa, the yarshim would be mashpia her, ve'es yarsheh, or her yarshiv as a bar mishus or any other power of attorney, any other person that's coming to collect. But what do you see from here? You see a situation where you could have her yarshiv collecting from his yarshiv, right? My people will talk to your people. What's going on over here? How could her yarshiv be collecting from his yarshiv? If her yarshiv collecting from his yarshiv, that by definition it means it was meisa loyva b'chaye yamalva, meisa bal b'chaye yisho, l'chayot aloch is, you shouldn't be able to collect. Now here you can't say what the Gemara said to be doich of the first two kashas. What was the dichoy to the first two kashas? It's talking about where she already made a shvur. How do you know she didn't make a shvur? Because what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says, Yarsha mashbi an oisav es yarsha. How could it be mashbi a yarsha? The mother already swore. So what do you mean mashbi? Yeah, be mashbi, the shvur is a yarsha. Okay, be mashbi, see shvur is stuff memhei, right? But what do you mean? If the mother swore, if that's the kimto, so you can't be mashbi anymore. So here's the problem. Because here you see the yarsha isha are being tayveh from the yarsha habal, and it can't be talking about where there was a shvur, and it's meis loyva b'chayiv malva, right? That's the equivalent thereof, because the husband's the loyva and the isha is the malva. So Rav Shmaya, we don't hear from Rav Shmaya every day. Rav Shmaya came. Rav Shmaya said, "Let's start him, Tony. This is where you have to read this Mishnah. The case where the yarsha are collecting is taka, not talking about where she was an almana. The case is talking about where she had been a grusha. But the point is." The point is, it wasn't a case of meis loyva b'chayim malva. That wasn't the case. She died before he died. That was the case. Right? Why do we assume that he died before she died? Because otherwise, why is she entitled to the ksuba? And the truth is, the first two cases, I'm furish talking about where an amun is coming to collect the ksuba. So there, we know he died before she died. We know it's meis loyva b'chayim malva, and now her yarshim are collecting. So that's mamash theory to Rav Shmuel's case. It's a case where yarshim are collecting from yarshim, whereas meis loyva b'chayim malva. But over here, it didn't say that. All we see over here is that then the neder u'shvua ain't li'alayich al yershayich who ain't li'ochel hashmi. All we see, it's true in a case of yarshim from yarshim. Who said it's in a case of amana? Mechatesi. Who said it's a case of amana? So said Rav Shmaya, let's start in Ktani. Oysa b'amana. By the way, Rashi says oysa b'amana doesn't mean dafka b'amana. Afilu b'amana. Oysa could be also grusha. I mean, there's no reference over here that we're dealing with an amana coming to collect. Maybe it was a grusha. Now, why the yarshim? Because the grusha died. But you want to know who died first? It could be she died first. There is no sheiches. As a result, this is not going to be a tzitzum. So Rav Nosson bar Hoshea asked another kasha, and this kasha is already from a braisa that's discussing the halacha of our mishnah. So again, this is not talking about a case of ksubas, but this is like a smack on kasha to the case of Rav Shmuel. We're dealing with a regular case of shvuas hayarshin between the yarshay hamalva trying to collect from the yarshay aloiv. Says the gemara yafu koyach habemi koyach. So the braisa says that when it comes to the laws of shvuas hayarshin, the koyach haben is yotha sometimes from the koyach av. Meaning with the halacha of shvuas hayarshim, it could be the ben will be in a better position than the father. How so? Shaben goy v'ben b'shvuah ben shalei b'shvuah. A son that's collecting from yarshim, meaning the yarshay amalva that are collecting from the yarshay haloiva, can collect sometimes with a shvuah and sometimes shalei b'shvuah. Now let's just hit the pause button for a second. Where is it negei shalei b'shvuah? And the Gemara is going to say it in a minute, but Rashi even hit the pause button. Rashi told us right away. So what's... Follow Rashi's lead, obviously. So Rashi says right here, the case of Shvuah, that's Shvuah Sayyashim in the Mishnah. What's the case of Shaloi B'Shvuah? So that was Mufurish in the Mishnah. Rav Shimon Gamliel said in the Mishnah that what? Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel had a comment in the Mishnah, Im Yesh Edim Sha'amir Abishas Mitasa. Shas misasa, right? Mitasa and misasa, it's the same thing. Shtar Zeh Enoi Parua Unoito Shaloi B'Shvuah. That in the event there are Edim that say, that the father said, Shtar Zeh Enu Perua, then he could take Shloi B'Shvuah. So it's Mefurish in the Mishnah, that sometimes there's a Shvuah Sayyashim, and sometimes there's not. Right? When, yeah, all cases. When not, if there are Edim that say that the Tata said, B'Shas Misasai, that it wasn't paid, and then he could take Shloi B'Shvuah. But the father will always have to swear. Because the father is again taking from the assignment and a bali par menach assignment the par al b'shvu that I wasn't paid. So the price makes like this kishmak observation. Yofa koyach ben mi koyach av. Because as it relates to the ben, amol mitashvu, amol onashvu. But as it relates to the tata, it's always going to have to be with a shvu. Now the Gemara speaks out. Well, we just spoke out that Rashi already spoke. The Gemara says, hey chidon. What's the case? The case is obviously talking about the meis loiva bechaye. Malva. Now, how do you know that the case is talking about the meis loiva b'chayim malva? Maybe the malva died before the loiva. How do you know it's Rav and Shmuel's case, right? That's the problem. Maybe that's not the case. Because what does it sound like? Yofa koyach habemi koyach av sounds like the father this second would have had to have sworn, but then when the father dies, we're dining, what's the halacha of the son? But it sounds like that the son's shvuah is even in the case when the father himself would have had to have made a shvuah, right? The case l'chayre is the meisoy b'chayim up, meaning in the same exact case where the father would have had to have sworn, now we're dining, what's the halacha of the son? So amo mitat shvuah, amo lano shvuah. But according to Rav and Shmuel, the case where the father had to have sworn, the son is not going to be able to collect anything. We don't have the halacha of the Mishnah in that case. So it says the Gemara, the Bryce is talking about the Meis Leiva B'chayim Alva, because l'chayre, the case of the son being Goiva is the same as the case of the father being Goiva. V'ktani sh'ben Goiva ben b'shvua, ben sh'loi b'shvua, b'shvua, shvua s'yarchim sh'loi b'shvua, k'rab shim gamliel. But the bottom line is, what do you see from here? You see this idea that the son's din of shvua s'yarchim is going to be true, even if the Leiva died before the Malva, even though the Malva, the father, was not k'chayim. I'm Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef said, I hear. It's a good kasha. And you see really from this Bryce and Alec Rabban Shmuel, however, Avenator. Amari Beshamahi. Could be going to Beshamahi, the Amri, who said, Shtara Oimid Ligvois, Kagavui Dami. Beshamahi holds in Shas. Shtara Oimid Ligvois, Kagavui Dami. And Rashi explains this Gemara's teretz with a big lumnus. According to Beshamahi, if I have a shtar, it's Kagavui Dami. Therefore, even if I have a chiyuv shvuah, haboli par minechas assembly par of the shvuah, we look at it, your mamish muchsik. Your din mamin is much stronger, and therefore, Odomirish, this afilu b'shvua. It's dafk according to Beis Hillel, where you're not a muchzik, and I need a shvua to come onto it, that's when it's a problem. If I need the shvua to be machzik, there's no problem in Odomirish shvua l'banim. If I need the shvua to be mitzi, that's when there's going to be a problem. So it's true, you have a b'raisa, which is not like Rav and Shmuel, a b'hocha b'mayaskinon, or what is the ikimta? Who is Hamani Beishamayi? If it's going according to Beishamayi, Shtaro Emilikvay Skagobidami, it's not a tsushtal to Rav and Shmuel, because Rav and Shmuel was saying the halacha, when you're coming to be mitzi, they were saying their halacha, dafka, aliba, dibes, either way. A little bit of a postscript, a lumdisha postscript, to this halacha of Rav and Shmuel. So, ikla Rav Nachman Basura. Rav Nachman came to Sura. Olegabe Rav Chizda v'Rabbi Barafuna. And Rav Chizda v'Rabbi Barafuna, they came to visit the great Rav Nachman. Amrule, they told him, Leisi mar nakru lahod Rav and Shmuel. So this halach of Rav and Shmuel brought with it a lot of controversy. And right, you find this in different places in Shas, where sometimes it was like a disproportionate amount of controversy when it came to certain halacha. Right, we speak this out sometimes. It's a perfect example of this. So they come to Rav Nachman, these two great Damayiran, and they say, Nekru l'had Rav Shmuel, I want you to be Oikir Rav Shmuel. Amar l'hu, so he told him, Ich b'li v'asoy kol ani parsi l'mekru l'had Rav Shmuel. I came all the way to Surah to do that. I mean, if I wanted to be Oikir Rav Shmuel, I could have stayed home. To be Oikir Rav Shmuel, right? He was so frightened by the thought, he responded to them somewhat sarcastically, Kedar Kishor Rav Nachman, and he says, what? Ich believe asoy kolani parsi lemekru lahadir Rav Shmuel. Now, Rav Nachman looked at them and he says, you know, I understand, I'm also a little bit uncomfortable with Rav Shmuel. Now, we had an Amid Aleph there, Rav Nachman wasn't sure, yeah, Rav Shmuel, not Rav Shmuel. So he's a shtickle uncomfortable with it. But he said, I'm never going to be Oikir. You know why? It's not something I'm going to do. But I'll tell you what, I'll be moid of a miktas. We won't be moisef on Rav and Shmuel. This is the way the Rishonim explain it. If Rav and Shmuel said it, Rav and Shmuel said it, I'm not budging. There's no shvus ayarshim over here. I'm not touching what Rav and Shmuel said. But ordinarily, if Rav and Shmuel would say this halacha and you would want to shtel it to comparable areas, of course, you would shtel it too. Meaning, what's the underlying principle of Rav and Shmuel? Ain't another Meir Shmuel the bottom. So I would shtel the su all day, every day. But that much already I won't do. So again, to go and be Oiker Rav and Shmuel's psak, this is such an interesting way of looking at halacha. If Rav and Shmuel said it, Rav and Shmuel said it. Kfar hoy rezakin, kfar hoy ruskenin. Where I'm not going to touch this. Over, I will give you this. Havu d'loy loysef Allah. I'm not going to be moysef. What would be an example of being moysef, says the Gemara? Like, what would be a tzushtel? So the Gemara said, I'll give you an example. The Amir Rapapa said, Hapoygim eshtaroy. Umes. So what's the halach of someone is poygim shtaroy? Poygim shtaroy means he has a shtar, but he's moyde that mixes of the shtar is peru. So we had this in the Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah was talking about a woman who was Pagemes Ksubasa, right? Balash in the Keva. But, same thing, right? Pagem Shtar means anytime a Baal Chayv is murdered, that half of the Shtar is Perua. So the Aloch is he has to now swear, right? He's a Nishba Benoit. It's not Shvudei Raisa, but it's not the regular Moedim Mixas. Ain't Nishba Nala Shtar is, right? For various reasons. But the bottom line is, a Pagem Shtar is Chayv now Shvud Rabba. So what would be if someone's Pagem Shtar and then he died? So now he left over the Shtar. Could the Yershim collect with the Shtar? Could they not collect with the Shtar? It's Mamish the Shaydl of Rav and Shmuel. On the one hand, the guy died, he left over a shtar. But then again, he would have had to have sworn. The Yerushim can't make the shvuah because they don't know to swear that the other half is not paid. Right? What would be the shvu? The shvu is that the other half is still owed. They don't know that the other half is owed. In other words, shvu lebanov, based on Rav and Shmuel, chazal shvu leSinai. We're out. Like Sigzel, right? Like the Davish is going to take over. So really, you would think Tishtel Tzu said, Reb Nachman, I'll give you Hamia to Loi Loisef Allah. So again, Reb Papa said, Hapoigim Eshtore Yumeis, Yarshim Nishpan, Shvus, Yarshim Venoitlin. The Allah is the Yarshim. Oh, by the way, Yarshim have to swear Shvus Ayarshim, right? At least that they swear. They swear the Shvus Ayarshim. It's not better than a regular case where they have to swear Shvus Ayarshim. They'll swear Shvus Ayarshim and they're going to be out. In other words, Reb Nachman said, this much I agree with you. And by the way, it's enough in a Psak. Reb Papa Paskin this, right? That's Kid Reb Nach. Kid Amir Reb Papa. It's Mefurish Psak Reb Papa. Another halacha. Ahuda Shachiv Vishavak Arva. There was a man who died. He left over an Arev. So the case over here was where Yarshim were being tevei from Yarshim, and it was Meis Haloiva B'chayim Malva. It's mamish the case of Rav and Shmuel. But over here, the Yarshim HaMalva were not going to be collecting from the Yarshim HaLoiva, they were going to be collecting from an Arev. That was the case. Someone had co-signed a loan, and the Yarshim HaLoiva didn't have any money, and therefore they were going to end up going to the Arev. So Rav Papa, the Mamis, Rav Papa held, Hanami Deloi Loisef Allahu. Right, Rav Papa Lishri Tosai, who didn't pass in Rav and Shmuel by a Poigim Eshtarai because of Rav Nachman's Memra Havu Deloi Loisef Allahu. So he said, I think this is the same thing. Now, this is not Mamish the same thing. Why? Because it's the same case. It's Yarshim HaLoiva, Yarshim HaMav. It's the same exact case. Shvush Loi Pagadnu. But you're not collecting from the Loiva or the Yarshim HaLoiva. You're collecting from the Arev. So he thought it's a Tzushtal. Amalo Rafun Brei Drev Yishu Rapapa, what's going to happen at some point? The Arev is going to go to the Yisraim. As soon as they have money, the minute they have $5, they're going to be sued, right? So being that he's going to end up going after them anyways, so really, this is the same case. And if Rav and Shmuel said you can't do this, you are, even though you're circumventing it a little bit, it's like Bederech Garmi, but it doesn't matter. It's not going to be okay. Another one. Who the Shachiv? The Shavak Acha. There was a man that died, and he left over a brother. So again, Malva loiva, mesa malva, mesa loiva. The Yarshe HaMalva coming to collect from the Yarshe HaLoiva. But the Yarshe HaMalva are not the sons of the Malva. They're the bruder of the Malva. It's a brother. It's mamish the same exact case. But instead of it being sons, it's a brother. So for Rami Bar Chama Lamei, Mar Hanami, the Loi Loisef Allahu. And it's not Rami Shmuel's case. Rami Shmuel's case was Yisayimim. What's Yisayimim? Yisayimim are the children. It's not the brother. The brother's not a Yosim. He's a Yairish, but he's not a Yosim. Amalei Rava, Rava, Sen, Mali, Shaloi, Pakadni, Abba, Mali, Shaloi, Pakadni, Achi. The Shvu is going to be the same exact Shvu, right? Brother, son, that's or father, that's already semantics. And as a result, for sure, this is not included in what Rav Nachman meant when he said, Havu, Deloi, Lois, Nefa, Allah, Omar, Rav Chama, Rav Chama said. So as it relates to the Shiloh, Rav and Shmuel, again, a lot of drama, and we don't even know what we're holding right now. Yeah, Rav and Shmuel, not Rav and Shmuel, right? The recap would involve a whole bunch of different names and twists and turns, right? You ready for this recap? So Rav Chama said, Hashtala itma hilchas aloika Rav and Shmuel, aloika Rav Alaza. Hay daina da avat ka Rav and Shmuel, avat, avat ka Rav Alaza, avat. So again, on Amad Alpha, it was a machlekes Rav and Shmuel, Rav Alaza, right? Rav Alaza was the Ikerbal Plukta. Rav and Shmuel said, there alocha, Rav Alaza said, I see no difference. Rav Ami said, it depends if it was Amad Abedin. Rav Nachman was Masafkele. I don't know if the halacha is like Rav and Shmuel. The halacha is not like Rav and Shmuel. The other one wants to be Oikar Rav and Shmuel. Absolutely not. But Havud Loi Loisef Allah, right? It's an interesting halacha. But said Rav Chama, I'll tell you what I think. I think the Avad Ki Rav and Shmuel Avad, the Avad Ki Rav and Shmuel Avad. I'm a Rapop. Rapop said, Hai Shtar Di Yasmi. If someone has Azaz Shtar, meaning Meis Loi B'chayim Malva, and the Yisoyim of the Malva holding on to Azaz Shtar. So what's the halacha? Loi Mikra Karina Le, we wouldn't hear the Shtar. V'lei Agvuyim Agvina Beit, we wouldn't be Goyva with the Shtar. Agvuyim Loi Magvina Beit, Demus Vilek Rav and Shmuel. Right, you can't be Goyva, because maybe the halacha is like Rav and Shmuel. Chazur Shul Desina, you can't take it. Well, Mikra Le Karina Le, we're also not going to tear it up. Hai Dain, the Avad Ki Rav and Shmuel Avad. You can't take it away from the guy. It's not fair. They want to hold it, they can hold it, because maybe we'll find a dying that's going to be willing to go like Rabbi Loza. Who dying? The other Rabbi Loza. There was Taka dying that did like Rabbi Loza. There was a younger man in Shtot. He told him, I'm going to bring a brief from Eretz Yisrael. Right, that was Asri Rabbi Loza. I'm going to bring a brief from Eretz Yisrael that Allah is not like Rabbi Loza. So he told him, I'm not impressed by your threats. L'chi taisi. When you bring it, then we'll talk. But now you're just threatening me. This person was very disappointed. They came to Rav Chama Amalei. He says, "No, hi, Dayana do Avad Rav Elazar Avad. Unzer Messiah is that if a dying goes like Rav Elazar, he has a right to go like Rav Elazar. And if that's the case, who do we paskin like? Taka don't know." Right, it's not 100% clear. Rav Shmuel said what they said. Rav Elazar was the Baal Plukta. Rav Ami said it's telling down Mother Bedin. Rav Nachman was Masafkale. But at the same time, he also said Havu Deloi Loisef Allah. Right, very nuanced when we say it's considered loisav alo, when it's not considered loisav alo, like a pegemes ksubasa or pegem shtar choyve, that's loisav alo. But if it's mamish malva loiva and you're coming to like from the arev or it's a brother, not your Simon, that's really not considered loisav alo. Rav Chama, who seems to be a grace of poisek here in the sugya, so Rav Chama says, hay dina that does this way is good, that way is that, that's why it relates to the shtar. I mean, you're not going to be goyver with it lechatchila, but at the same time, you can't take it away. It's not like a shtar you have to get rid of. It's not like ubiarta rami kirbecha, because if a dayan wants to go like Rabbi Lazar, he has a right to go like Rabbi Lazar. There was one someone that wanted to go like Rabbi Lazar, and there was a younger man that made a fest of macham, and even threatened him, I'm going to bring a brief. And this dayan called his bluff. He said, no problem, when you bring the brief, bring the brief. And Rabbi Chama said, if a dayan wants to go like Rabbi Lazar, he has every right to go like Rabbi Lazar. Hexel.